Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's show. I'm Andrew Bellers. I'm going to be your host for today. As most of you probably know, this is going to be my last year at the ministry, so I don't know how many more of these one-on-ones we're going to be able to have, but I'm so honored to be a part of this ministry. I really believe in it, and part of why I believe in it is because we talk about things that you don't see a lot of other ministries talk about, things that I think are important, not just because it's important for us to know the current events and the signs of the times that we're living in. Like Jesus said to the Pharisees, he was saying, woe to you, because you can look at the sky and discern what the weather is going to be, but you can't discern the times that you're living in. I think it's important for us as Christians to know the signs of the seasons that we're living in. And this season, I believe we are really entering in to the last days, the end of times. And one of the important topics of these days, of this season that we're moving into, is AI. We talked about this last show. We talked about how there is a sort of a massive revolution in AI that's taking place right now. So last week, we talked a lot about the what. We played a lot of clips from a presentation by Tristan Harris and Aza Raskin, who are experts in the AI field. And they talked a lot about this new type of AI that's coming out and the capabilities of it. And we are going to be covering some of that on the show by way of review, just to recap and to sort of get our bearing for where we go next. And what comes next is, what comes next? Now that we know sort of the landscape that we're in right now, what happens next? And I'm going to be making a case that I believe that the global elite and humanity at large is, in a sense, building a type of Tower of Babel, a new type of Tower of Babel. Now, we knew the original Tower of Babel, how that ended. God said, if something doesn't happen here, they were trying to build a tower to make a name for themselves and to reach into the heavens, into the heavenly realm. And God said, if I don't confuse their languages and scatter this people, then nothing that they set their mind to will be impossible for them. Now I think we're in a very similar situation. So what happens now? Will God confuse our languages? And will he scatter us in some way? Or will it advance to the culmination of what we know will be the end of days? This one world government, this beast system. So, like I said, by way of review, let's recap sort of where we are right now with AI. So in 2017, a massive revolution in AI occurred. Why did this happen? Why are we talking about this all of the time now? You know, you've heard things like DALL-E and Whisper and the big one, which is ChatGPT. Why are we talking about this? Because in 2017, a new engine, a new AI engine was created. Now, think about this like a car. If the model of the car is ChatGPT, then the car itself is AI. And the engine that drives that car has changed. This new type of engine is called a transformer model. So let's back up. Before 2017, what was the landscape of AI? Before that point, AI was divided by different disciplines. Basically, under the umbrella of AI, there were different fields of expertise. They might be speech recognition or image generation or robotics or speech synthesis. And the way that things sort of operated in that time was, you know, you could be an expert in AI regarding speech recognition, an absolute expert. And you could pick up a paper that was written by someone who's an expert in AI with robotics and totally not understand it. I mean, essentially, up until 2017, all of these experts in these different fields under the umbrella of AI were speaking different languages. That all changed with the creation of this new engine. So essentially what this does, this transformer model, any kind of data, doesn't matter what it is, whether it's speech recognition or image generation, robotics, DNA. It takes all of this data, this information, and it processes it. It reads it as though it's a language. And so what happened? All of these different fields, all of these experts have been combined now into one progress curve. You know, there was advancement before that, but it was slow. 2% here, 3% here in this field. But now that everyone is on the same page, working towards the same goal, working on the same progress curve, it has become exponential. Absolutely exponential. And we're going to talk about how that curve has actually become a double exponential curve. But let's get into it. So last week, we talked about and played clips from a presentation that was put on by the Center for Humane Technology. The name of the presentation was The AI Dilemma, and was delivered by Tristan Harris and Azza Raskin, who are co-founders of the Center for Humane Technology. They created the Emmy-winning Netflix documentary called The Social Dilemma. Now, these guys have advised heads of state, global policymakers, members of Congress, and national security leaders. So needless to say, they are experts, they're bigwigs. And this is what they said. 50% of AI researchers believe that there's a 10% chance or greater that humans go extinct from our inability to control AI. Now that would be like if you got on a plane and 50 of the engineers who made the plane said, hey, you know, it's mostly safe, but there is, just so you know, there is a 10% chance the thing falls out of the air and crashes and everyone and it dies. Would you get on that plane? No, nobody would get on that plane. But what they said is we are rapidly onboarding people onto this plane as we speak. Now, this new type of AI that is driven by this transformer model engine, they're calling them Golem AIs. ChatGPT is one of them. They can actually teach themselves. It's a concept called emergent capabilities. That is things that the designers, the modelers who made these AI systems, they didn't design them to do certain things, but after a certain period of time, the AI has taught itself. For instance, like researchers researching ChatGPT, they would prompt it and ask it to do arithmetic for them. And over time, it would be like, it can't do it, it can't do it, it can't do it. And then all of a sudden, on the timeline, it can do arithmetic. How did that happen? They don't know. And there's no way to predict when these emergent capabilities will arise. As another example, ChatGPT taught itself how to do research-grade chemistry. And not only can it do this, which they did not design it to do, it can do it better than AI models that they have created for that purpose. It actually not only teaches itself, this new AI, it teaches itself to get better at teaching itself. This is what I mentioned when I said that we're turning this exponential curve into a double exponential curve. Now, you've combined all of these AI fields. All of the experts are working towards one goal now. So the increase is exponential. But not only do you now have human experts working on this AI to make it better, you have the AI itself working on itself to make it better. I mean, there's one quote that they said in the presentation, and it was, here's the baseline. Nukes, nuclear weapons, nukes don't sit and make stronger nukes, but AI makes stronger AI. It's like an arms race to strengthen every other arms race. If this were a children's parable, it would be something like this. Give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. You've all heard this one, right? Give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish and you feed him for a lifetime. But teach an AI to fish and it'll teach itself biology, chemistry, oceanography, evolutionary theory, and it'll fish all the fish to extinction. This is the kind of processing power we're talking about. Another interesting thing from the presentation is this concept of theory of mind. What is theory of mind? Theory of mind is basically your ability to make a model of what I'm thinking and to predict my behavior and my habits based off of what I might be thinking. In other words, it's a way to strategize. Or another way to put it is how well you can think like a person. Now, in 2019, ChatGPT, one of the earlier models, it barely had any theory of mind. Essentially, it had the brain of a baby, an infant. But by 2020, it had the strategy level or the mind of a four-year-old. In January of 2022, 2 years later, it had the mind of a seven-year-old. That's January. By November of 2022, just 10 and a half months later, it had the mind of a nine-year-old. Here's another example of the capabilities of this new AI. Here's an article. They thought loved ones were calling for help, but it was an AI scam. The man calling Ruth Card sounded just like her grandson, Brandon. So when he said he was in jail with no wallet or cell phone and needed cash for bail, Card scrambled to do whatever she could to help. It was definitely this feeling of fear, she said, that we've got to help him now. Card, 73, and her husband, Greg Grace, 75, dashed to the bank in Regina, Saskatchewan, and withdrew $3,000 Canadian dollars, which was the daily maximum. They hurried to a second branch for more money, but a bank manager pulled them into his office. Another patron had gotten a similar call and learned the eerily accurate voice had been faked. Card recalled the banker saying, "That's when they realized they'd been duped. Advancements in artificial intelligence have added a terrifying new layer, allowing bad actors to replicate a voice with just an audio sample of a few sentences. Powered by AI, a slew of cheap online tools can translate an audio file into a replica of a voice, allowing a swindler to make it speak whatever they type." So you have the experts warning about this new kind of AI. 50% of the researchers saying there's a 10% chance we all go extinct from this. And actually, there was a petition to halt further AI developments, and it was signed by over 1,000 tech leaders, including Elon Musk and Steve Wozniak, who was a co-founder for Apple. So with all of these experts saying this is really dangerous and we don't know, we can't even predict how dangerous this could be. You'd think maybe we'd be going a little slower. You think maybe we would take a minute, take a pause, take a breath, and decide how do we go forward in a way that doesn't destroy all of humanity. Well, you would think that, but that's not what's happening. It took Facebook 4.5 years to reach 100 million users. It took Instagram 2.5 years. ChatGPT took 2 months to reach 100 million users. Here's another article. Google is putting AI in basically everything, including search. 5 months ago, a small San Francisco startup called OpenAI upended the tech industry and the rest of the world when it released ChatGPT. The app showed millions of people the immense capabilities of generative AI, how it can do everything from write original poetry to churn out working lines of code all in a matter of seconds. It quickly became clear that AI technology like ChatGPT had the potential not only to radically change the way we consume and create information, but to transform every aspect of our daily lives, and it threatened Google's business to its core. It's against that backdrop that Google invented journalists to visit Shoreline Amphitheater in Mountain View, California for the company's much-anticipated annual I/O Developer Conference. The keynote presentation on Wednesday was Google's chance to recapture the excitement it lost to OpenAI and the startup's main investor, Microsoft, which ate Google's lunch in February by releasing AI-powered search features in Bing and a corresponding chatbot, Bing GPT. Google is now facing the possibility of losing its dominance in the search market and reputation as a leader in AI. Now, in order to reclaim its place as the company leading the charge on this rapidly developing technology, Google is putting AI into virtually all of its most popular products, despite the technology's known flaws. In the coming weeks, billions of people will see generative AI in everything from Google Search to Gmail to services powered by Google's cloud technology. The update will, among other things, let people use AI to compose emails in the Gmail mobile app, create new Google Docs presentations with AI-generated images based on a few keywords, and text their friends on Android and Shakespearean-style prose spun up by AI. So like that article said, ChatGPT was released in November of 2022, and it was created by a company named OpenAI, which was founded by Sam Altman and Elon Musk, among others, in 2015. But since then, Elon Musk, who helped found it, has now openly denounced the company. This is a quote from him. OpenAI was created as an open source, which is why I named it OpenAI, nonprofit company to serve as a counterweight to Google, but now it has become a closed source maximum profit company effectively controlled by Microsoft. Not what I intended at all. Listen, I'm a conservative. I am a big fan of the free market. I think it's necessary. But when we're talking about a free market that is competing to create godlike intelligence, beings that we cannot control, I do think maybe we should pump the brakes a little bit. You know, it kind of makes me think of this quote from Jurassic Park, Jeff Goldblum's character, where he said, "Your scientists were so preoccupied with whether or not they could, they didn't stop to think if they should." That's the situation we're in right now. They are fighting and competing to put out the newest, to create the new thing, to create the most advanced technology, and put it out so quickly that they're not even stopping to realize, is this dangerous or is this safe? Now, all of these experts are warning. Shouldn't we listen to them? Shouldn't we put a pause? Shouldn't we pump the brakes? Well, no, apparently we're not going to do that. Here's another article. Can we count on the government to do something about AI? OpenAI CEO Sam Altman made what has become a tech CEO rite of passage this week. He testified before Congress, where the Senate Judiciary Committee's Privacy, Technology, and the Law Subcommittee held a hearing on artificial intelligence oversight. But there was a difference. Unlike some other contentious hearings we've seen with major tech company CEOs, Altman faced a largely friendly crowd that wanted to know if and how he thought generative AI technology like his company's ChatGPT and DALL-E should be regulated. It was so friendly, in fact, that at one point, Senator John Kennedy, Republican, asked Altman if he'd be willing to leave OpenAI to head up a hypothetical federal agency that oversaw AI. It was so friendly, they offered him a job. Okay, so Congress isn't going to do anything about this. But you know what? Our White House is on the job. Here's another article. Biden administration announces crackdown on discrimination and bias in AI tools. The Biden administration will use existing civil rights and consumer rights laws to take enforcement action against AI systems and automated systems that allow discrimination. With AI tools increasingly central to private industry and soon potential government decisions about hiring, credit, housing, and other services, top leaders from the four federal agencies warned about the risk of digital redlining. I just think that's kind of funny. It's like, Mr. President, the AI experts are saying that robots are going to take over the world. Well, are the robots racist? I don't know. We'll just make sure they're not. Thanks. I'm glad the president's taking this so seriously. Meanwhile, Sam Altman, the CEO of OpenAI, has been invited to one of the biggest, not-so-secret meetings of the global elite, and AI is at the top of the docket. So not only is nobody doing anything to pump the brakes on this emergent technology, but the global elite are welcoming the creators of this technology with open arms, because of course they are. What better tool to control humanity? Let's talk about the future of AI. What happens next? Where does this go? I'm going to talk about a couple of predictions from a man by the name of Masayoshi Son. We've talked about him extensively. Just a little bit of background. He's the second richest man in Japan. He has invested billions of dollars of cash exclusively into artificial intelligence and IoT, which is the Internet of Things, the connecting all of us. One of his predictions is that there will be 1 trillion connected devices in the world. There's about 1 billion now. He imagines a society, a global society, where we are all connected, all surveilled 24/7. Here are some of his predictions about what happens with AI. By 2030, artificial intelligence will be as smart as humans. That doesn't sound so crazy anymore. I mean, we have ChatGPT. They didn't even realize that it had the mind of a 9-year-old until after they released it. And then they went back and thought, whoa, we didn't know this. A mind of a 7-year-old by January of 2020, 10 months later, it advanced 2 years. It grew 2 years. So by 2030, it'll be as smart as humans. By 2040, he predicts the event that many in the AI world have called the singularity. And that is the time where AI intelligence will far surpass human intelligence. They're talking about a godlike kind of intelligence with an IQ of 10,000 or more. I don't think that we have seen the peak of human connectedness. I think that in a way, the global elite are building their own type of Tower of Babel. In Genesis 11, 1 through 7, this is the account of the first Tower of Babel. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language, so they will not understand each other." Why is ChatGPT and other AI like it so revolutionary that it marks not only a turning point in the history of AI, but I really believe it marks a turning point in the history of humanity? What was the key that unlocked this explosion of AI? It was language. Once everyone in all of the different fields were all speaking the same language, once the AI was interpreting every kind of data set as language, something was unlocked. And I believe that it targets one of the divine keys to unlocking life itself. Now let me explain why I say that. I think there's a way in which you can understand language to be the basis for everything. I mean, think about it. Let's look at some scriptures here. God spoke creation into being. He spoke creation into being. Genesis 1, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit, in which is their seed, each according to its kind, on the earth. And it was so." Another interesting aspect, Jesus is the Word made flesh. John 1:14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Another thing, God will exalt his name and his word above everything. Psalm 138, 2. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word. Jesus, when he was tempted in the desert, said, man does not live on bread alone, but on the word of God. Matthew 4:4. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. God chose to bring all of creation into being by his word. God chose to deliver his people into salvation by his word. Another interesting thing, DNA, the script that every single living organism runs on, is a language. It has its own alphabet. It's a type of code. It's a coding language. So much so that it's actually been popularly deemed the language of life. Here's a quote from Yuval Noah Harari, famous futurist. What nukes are to the physical world, AI is to the virtual and symbolic world. Why? Because language is like the operating system of humanity. Everything that we do, our laws, our relationships, our religion is based on language. Language is the basis on which we understand each other. It's the way that we understand the world around us. It's the way that we understand the God that we serve. And for the very first time, non-humans are able to create persuasive narrative. And what's the result? Well, the experts say this ends up being a zero-day vulnerability for the operating system of humanity. Here's another quote from Harari. The last time we had non-humans creating persuasive narrative and myth was the advent of religion. You know, Yuval Harari, who I've quoted twice now, is one of the most well-renowned futurists in the world, deeply connected with the likes of Klaus Schwab and the WEF, one of the largest governing bodies of the global elite in the world. And this man believes that through the advances of technology, of this fourth industrial revolution that we're in, which is marked by embedding technology within the human body, he believes that through these advances that we are going to become godlike. Here's one last quote from him. Science is replacing evolution by natural selection with evolution by intelligent design. Not the intelligent design of some god above the clouds, but our intelligent design. Like those that came together to build the Tower of Babel, who said, let us make a name for ourselves. Let us build something that will usher us into the heavenly realms, that will make us like gods. So now the global elite of the world is saying, let us create this thing. Let us design our own evolution by intelligent design, not the design of some god in the clouds. Let us be our own gods. This is what the voice of the global elite is saying today. And like God said with the Tower of Babel, if I do not confuse their languages, if I don't intervene somehow and stop this, then nothing will be impossible for them. So what's the end of this look like? It could be that God intervenes and this stops. Or it could be that this is ushering in the one world government of the last days. And if that's the position that we're in, and I think, ultimately, I think we are in that position. I think we are in those last days. I believe we're living in the end times. Then we need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit of God, and we need to be reading his word. It says of the saints who entered into the kingdom of God in Revelation that they overcame the evil one by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and that they love not their own lives unto death. There is only one way by which we are saved from the judgment of the last days, from God's eternal judgment. There's only one way in which we enter the kingdom of God, and that is to be born again by believing in the one and only Son of God, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and shed his blood to be a covering for us. And if you don't believe that today, then you need to repent. You need to repent, and you need to acknowledge the God of the universe, the God of all creation. Acknowledge his Son, believe in him, put your faith in him, and lay down your life. As Jesus said, whoever tries to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And for those of you who love God and have loved God and have a long and rich history in your Christian faith and in your walk with God, I just encourage you, be in your word. Abide in him and he'll abide in you, because the days are here. We are living in those days. Thank you guys for watching. I'll see you next week. We'll be right back.